Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, October the 25th. This is Rod, and your other readers are Jenny, Kevin and Jane. The editor this week is John. All are members of team number two. This week's sponsor is Knox Cropper, LLP. They provide expertise across the full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit, assurance, governance and compliance, based in Apsley. Telephone 218309. Website www.knoxcropper.com. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Burke Hempstead and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: Hearts Police act after council flag removals trigger abuse. Marlow Shopping Centre sold in cut price deal. County Council to review pension investments over Gaza rights abuses. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Abused while removing flags. Hertfordshire Police have been authorised for deployment to protect highways contractors when they remove St George's flags from lampposts, following incidents in which workers have been verbally abused and spat at. The County Council has stepped up efforts to remove hundreds of the red and white English flags that have been appearing on lampposts across the county since August. But on a number of occasions, contractors have had to leave flags lying after being verbally abused, spat at, or threatened with being identified on social media, council officials said. So Hertfordshire Constabulary has now agreed to provide officers to assist in ensuring that workers can safely remove the flags whenever necessary and to investigate any reported incidents. The Local Democracy Reporting Service understands that police will now be routinely told where works are scheduled in advance. Confirming the involvement of the police, a council spokesperson said, "Sadly, when our crews began to take flags down, there were incidents of abuse and threatening behaviour by some members of the public. It is completely unacceptable that our frontline workers are subject to this sort of behaviour for simply doing their jobs. As a result, we have reviewed our approach and we are working closely with the police to ensure the safety of our workforce whilst they remove flags. We recognise the divergence of views and the strength of feeling from residents, but we will not tolerate any abuse directed towards our frontline colleagues and any criminal behaviour will be reported to the police." Initially, when the flags started to appear in August, the council had intended to remove them only as part of its routine maintenance. But now teams of contractors are being specifically tasked with removing the flags to speed up the process. Executive Director for Community Protection, Alex Woodman, says they have stepped up the ongoing work in response to mounting concerns from residents. He said some residents see the appearance of the flags as no more than a celebratory gesture, but that others feel intimidated or threatened by the way they are being used. Hearts Police confirmed they were liaising with the County Council as they work to ensure their workforce is safe. A force spokesperson said, "We would appeal to anyone to report incidents of threatening behaviour to the police online via 101 or using 999 if it is a crime in action."
Marlowe's goes cheap. The Marlowe's has been sold to a London-based investment group at just a fifth of the price that Hemel Hempstead Shopping Centre commanded in a previous deal 10 years ago. Real estate investment company The Midas Group bought the £360,000 64-unit site from New River REIT for just over £7 million in a joint bid with Maritime Capital, according to business news outlet CoStar. The centre had been sold for £35 million in 2015. Some residents expressed shock at the significant fall in value during a decade where retailers have endured a pandemic, a further move towards online purchasing, and significant changes linked to Brexit. Others said on social media they had hoped the sale would lead to an influx of new business opening outlets inside the centre, some raising the greater choice and popularity of the Harlequin Centre in Watford. "Hope the centre can now provide us a reason to visit," said one social media user, while a second added, "It's just a shame you can't take your dogs in there like you can in the Harlequin." Suggestions included adding more events, activities, and browsable stores such as clothing shops, cafes, and a department store. Others said there needed to be a more varied and upmarket brand to give people a reason to make the trip. Specific stores on the wish list included Home Bargains, Zara, Lego, River Island, and John Lewis. Other ideas included the construction of a bowling alley, an arcade or bingo hall, or even a race kart track on the site, as well as making parking more affordable and reinstating the town's former outdoor market. Representatives from the Midas Group and the Marlow Shopping Centre did not respond to the Gazette's request for comment.
Investment ethics. Hertfordshire County Council will review its responsible investment policy after more than 1,500 residents backed a petition calling on it to divest its pension fund from companies complicit in rights abuses by Israel in Gaza. A vote by the full council on a motion calling on its pension committee to review the investments was carried by the thinnest of margins, with 37 councillors in favour and 36 against. The petition called for Hearts Local Government Pension Scheme to divest from companies complicit in war crimes, apartheid and occupation, and more specifically, in Israel's well-documented human rights abuses against Palestinians. It also urged the council to refrain from any such investments in future. Presenting the petition, Peter Siegel highlighted the pension fund's investment in RTX Corp, which he described as a US arms firm that supplied missiles used in the Gaza genocide, and in Booking Holdings, which he said advertised holiday rentals in illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. Siegel said a reason given for the council's previous failure to act on such issues was the duty to ensure the best returns for members, but he said there was no evidence that the divestment of only a few percent of funds would have had any significant financial impact. The responsible investment policy promises scheme members that human rights will be treated as a priority. Yet the pension fund holds investments that clearly breach this, Siegel said. Opening the debate, Pensions Committee Chair Councillor Tim Williams recognised the truly tragic situation in Gaza and proposed that the council request that the Pensions Committee review the council's responsible investment policy at its earliest opportunity. Williams said the overriding duty of the pension plan was to pay the pensions of retired employees and scheme members, but highlighted the insistence that the investment managers invest ethically. He added that advice on the issue had been sought from the Secretary of State. Leader of the Conservative Group, Councillor Richard Roberts, recognised the immense anguish and tragedy caused by the events over the past 2 years in Israel and Gaza to Jewish and Palestinian families. Roberts said it was right that the Pensions Committee considered a whole range of external factors when making its strategic investment decisions, but signalling he would vote against the review of the policy, he said it would undermine decades of independence that the pension scheme had maintained. Reform Councillor Matthew Hurst told the Chamber his group firmly opposes and utterly rejects the petition, not out of disregard for human rights, but out of respect for the facts and the proper role of the council. Signalling that the motion would be backed by Green Party councillors, Councillor Rachel Carter acknowledged that the Pension Committee had a responsibility to make sure funds were properly invested and safeguarded. Labour councillor Ian Albert suggested that the council may not have challenged itself enough on their investments in relation to human rights, suggesting it was something the authority needed to do further work on.
Changing buses. The system under which buses operate in Hertfordshire may change after the County Council secured £360,000 in government funding to undertake a review. The Department for Transport funded project, one of just five of its kind nationwide, will assess how Transport for Hertfordshire currently collaborates with private bus operators and whether a franchising model could offer better, more reliable journeys with more rural areas. Paul Zukowski, the Council's Executive Member for Transport, said, "We've made a commitment to fix our buses and improve journeys in our county, and securing this funding is the first step in making that promise a reality. We want everyone in Hertfordshire to be able to travel sustainably and safely across the county, and a reliable, efficient bus network is central to that ambition. The review will also examine network stability, service frequency, and existing council-owned and managed services like Hearts Links. The council will also work closely with its Interlink Enhanced Partnership and the Department for Transport." Simon Lightwood, Roads and Buses Minister at the Department for Transport, said, "We're backing Hertfordshire to explore how it could take control of its bus network and transform rural services to work for everyone, ensuring passengers, not profit, are put first." Hertfordshire is one of five areas nationally to receive the funding, with proposals expected to be submitted by April 2026. Any approved plans may require further funding to be implemented.
Reform wades into Muslim camp row. Plans by the Al-Bayt Islamic Mission, AIM, to hold a children's summer camp near King's Langley were back in the political spotlight last week as councillors were updated on anti-radicalisation programme Prevent. Camp Wilaya, aimed at children aged between 9 and 14, had been scheduled to be held at the Scouts Faisalswood Activity Centre in August. But with just days to go, the event was cancelled by the Scouts, citing increased public attention around the booking and concerns about, quote, potential third-party disruption, close quotes. In the run-up to the planned event, Hertfordshire branches of Reform UK had raised their own concerns, arguing that Al-Bayt Islamic Mission had a clear and troubling ties to the Iranian revolutionary regime. And at the latest meeting of the County Council's Public Health and Community Safety Cabinet panel, Reform Councillor David Herring questioned the role taken by Prevent as councillors were updated on the work of the Prevent programme. He suggested that councillors had received around 300 public emails on the matter. And yet he also suggested that Prevent seemed to be very lacking in engaging in that. The only reason that it didn't go ahead, as far as we can establish, is because the Scout movement decided it probably wasn't a good idea, given the public perception, to go ahead with that. And they cancelled it. There was no intervention by Prevent, as far as we can tell. AIM, which describes itself as a UK-based grassroots Shia Muslim organisation, said it had cancelled the event in the light of serious threats levelled at the safety of children at the camp. For foreign political lobby groups, media outlets and far-right thugs to make unfounded allegations that heighten the risk and encourage harm to children in the UK is truly disgraceful, the organisation said on its website. For over a decade, Camp Wilaya has been a cherished space where our children could enjoy the outdoors, grow in their values, and form lifelong friendships. Many of those who attended are now doctors, plumbers, teachers, engineers, and public servants, proud citizens who give back to Britain every single day. No evidence of wrongdoing has ever been found there, and yet our children are being punished simply for their faith. The County Council's Director of Regulatory Services and Community Safety, Andrew Butler, highlighted a number of meetings that had involved statutory partners and other agencies. I'm very limited in what I can say in what is obviously a public meeting, said Mr. Butler. What I can say, and to reassure you, is that all local statutory partners treated that extremely seriously. We did come together as a multi-agency group on a number of occasions. Mr. Butler signalled that the council would be looking to see if there were any future plans for the event to take place in the county, as has been in the public domain, and it is an event that's run for many years, he said. So, of course, we will be keeping an eye to see whether this is an event that might look to take place in the future, but probably beyond that, I'm quite limited in what I can share in a public meeting. Acknowledging the volume of emails received by councillors, he said, interestingly, a lot of these actually came from abroad rather than from Hertfordshire residents raising concerns.
And now, this week in history. October the 26th, 1986, Geoffrey Archer resigned as Deputy Chairman of the Conservative Party after allegations that he'd made a payment to a prostitute to avoid a scandal. He denied the allegations and fought a successful libel case. October the 27th, 2010, a 1966 World Cup winners' medal belonging to England player Nobby Stiles was bought for a record-breaking £182,200 by Manchester United. On this day last year, Egypt's president said his country had proposed a two-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, during which four hostages held in Gaza would be freed. President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, speaking in Cairo, said the proposal also included the release of some Palestinian prisoners and the delivery of humanitarian aid to the besieged Gaza Strip. October the 28th, 1971, the House of Commons voted in favour of Britain entering the common market by a majority of 112. On this day last year, Keir Starmer confirmed that the £2 cap on bus fares would be replaced with a new £3 cap in place until the end of 2025. October the 29th, 1956, Israel invaded the Sinai Peninsula and troops pushed on towards the Suez Canal.
Fire crews slower to respond. Fewer fire crews in Hertfordshire have been meeting targets to reach property fires within 10 minutes, according to newly released performance data. Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service say that a fire engine should arrive at the scene of a property fire within 10 minutes in 90% of cases. And where a second engine is required, they say that in 90% of cases it should be on the scene within 13 minutes. But according to the annual performance report in 2024-25, the targets were met on just 83% of occasions. And that's lower than the previous year, 23-24, when the 10-minute target was met in 89.6 of cases and the 13-minute target in 85%. Traffic congestion, lack of available on-call firefighters and demands from other incidents are said to have impacted response times. However, the report also stresses that the overall average attendance times were 7.07 minutes for a first engine and 9.47 minutes for the second. There were 65 occasions in 2024-25 when the fire engine failed to meet the target attendance time, said the report. This compares to 41 occasions the previous year. Similarly, for the second fire engine, there were 55 occasions when the target was missed, compared to 47 the previous year. It should be noted that this failure could only be a matter of seconds rather than minutes, but this is still recorded as a missed target. It was reported that in more rural locations, station locations meant meeting response time targets can be challenging and in some instances impossible to achieve. With regard to other fire service targets, the first fire engines attended road traffic collisions within the 12-minute target of 83% of occasions, and crews reached all hazardous materials incidents within 20 minutes, reaching 100% of the target. According to the report, the service dealt with 1,073 primary fires in 2024-25, which is 30 more than in 2023-24. Primary fires are those that occur in a building, vehicle or outdoor structure, involve a casualty or require five or more appliances. They also dealt with 917 secondary fires, which include incidents involving items such as refuse, grassland, drains, roadside furniture or barbecues. According to the report, there were three fire-related fatalities in 2024-25 and a further 47 non-fatal fire-related casualties. That's one fewer death than in 23-24 and six fewer casualties. The service remains committed to eliminating instances of death and casualties by fire in our communities, says the report. Crews were also called out to 576 traffic collisions during the 12-month period. Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service receives funding equivalent to £38.71 per head of population, according to the 2024-25 report. That's lower than the national average of £52.38. The cost data was compiled by the Chartered Institute for Public Finance and Accountancy, based on responses from 40 of the 49 fire and rescue services in England. HFRS remains in the bottom quartile for spend per head of population. Of those 40 out of 49, fire and rescue services who submitted data to CIPFA.
Revamp plan for councils. Three Rivers councillors have indicated a preference to join Decorum and Watford as part of a new unitary authority amid a reorganisation of local government in Hertfordshire. The County Council and Borough and District Councils are set to be abolished under the Labour Government's reorganisation plans to be replaced by a single tier of local government. Under proposals currently being considered by each existing council, Hertfordshire could be split into two, three or four separate unitary authorities. Councillors in Three Rivers held an indicative discussion and vote on the issue at their meeting on Tuesday. Council leader, Councillor Giles Medhurst, Liberal Democrat, said he preferred the three authority options, which would see Three Rivers join up with Decorum and Watford, as well as Bushey, currently in Hartsmere, to form a Western authority of 72 councillors, covering a population of 386,000. He added the two unitaries option would lead to authorities that were very big by far, while financing modelling suggesting four may not be even be viable. While Hertfordshire residents are not explicitly asked for their preferred option in a public consultation, 1,107 expressed a view in favour of four unitaries. 979 came in for three, and 907 backed two. The leader of the Conservative opposition group, Councillor Oliver Cooper, said that he and his colleagues had not been given details of the response to a public consultation or of the financial modelling that had been carried out. He said, if there is a report about the impact on finances, why not on earth is it not being presented to us here even in a preliminary state, so that we can make some sort of informed decision. 13 councillors voted in support of the three unitary option, while 20 abstained, including the Conservative group and some Liberal Democrats. No councillors voted in favour of the options for two or four unitary authorities. Many voiced concerns about limited information to enable them to make an informed decision. A full proposal for Hertfordshire, supported by all councils, will be submitted to government by November 28th, with Three Rivers' final decision on which option to back confirmed on November 17th.
County HQ up for sale. Potential purchasers are being invited to submit bids for Hertfordshire County Council's flagship headquarters in Hertford. A brochure showcasing the 25-acre site on Peggs Lane has been published by agents Savills, who are inviting conditional or unconditional bids through an informal tender by December 4th. The 8-page brochure cites the, quote, opportunity to develop a large mixed-use scheme subject to planning, close quotes. The council will reserve the right to decline offers submitted and to withdraw the property from the market at any time, the brochure adds. Completed in 1939, the original Grade II listed County Hall building, which includes the council chamber, was designed by Charles Holloway James and Stephen Rowland Pierce in a neo-Georgian style. The site, which was later extended to include modern office blocks and a multi-storey car park, went on to be used by thousands of county council staff. But since 2023, the vast majority of those staff have moved to the authority's Stevenage campus, and the Hertford site has been mostly vacant, whilst also becoming a popular location for film and TV companies. The County Council had tried to find a tenant or buyer to take over the newer office buildings on the site for employment use, whilst retaining the listed buildings, but without success. In July, it took the decision that the entire site should be sold off, with council meetings to move from the Hertford Chamber to a purpose-built facility in Stevenage.
Lords welcomes local cricket hero. An Abbots Langley cricketer spent the day at Lords as special guest of MCC Marylebone Cricket Club's president, Lord Mervyn King, after he was voted as an MCC community cricket hero for his work as chairman and women's coach of Abbots Langley Cricket Club. Phil Lewins was one of 11 winners nationwide, announced following a month-long campaign by the MCC and the Cricketer magazine. Phil said, "I am flattered as there are so many others that are equally deserving. Grassroots cricket means a lot, giving people of all ages and backgrounds opportunities to engage in a sport that encourages individual skill, teamwork and leadership." As a teenager, Lewins had two mentors, a club coach who had a county cup named after him, and a PE teacher who ended up as president of the North East Premier League. "They inspired my involvement in the game," he said. "When I ran a coaching session for the first time, I wasn't sure if I would be a success. The following week, one pupil returned with a new cricket bat, and 20 years later, I'm still coaching children and adults." Lewins has played an instrumental role in the growth of girls and women's cricket at the club, and has regularly visited girls' schools to teach cricket in the hope that pupils there would then come down to the club. He did all this while maintaining a full-time job. Community Cricket Heroes was launched in March 2022. It celebrates the grassroots game and the thousands of people who support it and make it happen. Winners are selected based on nominations from around the nation received by the MCC.
Night sky photo up in lights. A local amateur astronomer has struck gold with one of his photos of the night sky, which has been chosen to go on display at a museum in Greenwich as one of a select group of winning entries in a national competition. a picture of a nebula known as the Ghost of Cassiopeia, now hanging in the National Maritime Museum, was taken by Emil Andronic from Nashmills. Andronic told King's News, "When I found out I'd won, I was actually jumping around the house. I've had photos published before, but nothing compares to this." Capturing the photo wasn't very easy. "The challenge I faced is the unpredictable weather, and light pollution can have a detrimental effect. For this image, I captured 31 hours and 30 minutes of long exposures over 2 months, including a single one-hour shot. Anything could ruin it, a cloud, a satellite, even a passing plane," he said. Using cooled monochrome cameras, specialist filters and tracking mounts, Andronic transforms invisible light into stunning images, yet his mission goes beyond achieving recognition. "I want to inspire the younger generation. 9 years ago, I didn't know anything about astronomy, and now one of my photos hangs in Greenwich. If I can do it, anyone can," he added.
And now, what's on? Denby Theatre, Tring, 26th of October. Scott's Performing Arts, the Addams Family musical. Scott's will be rehearsing the entire musical throughout the day and night of Friday the 24th of October before performing this fantastic show across the weekend. Last year, Scott's managed to raise £21,000 for breast cancer, now with Shrek. And this year they hope to raise even more for Forever Colours Children Hospice. With a cast ranging from 8 years to adults, both professional and amateur, this project is truly a special one. 1 p.m, tickets from £17. Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, 28th of October. National Theatre Live presents Mrs. Warner's Profession, a film version of a West End play. Five-time Olivier Award winner Imelda Staunton, The Crown, joins forces with her real-life daughter, Bessie Carter, Bridgerton, for the very first time, playing mother and daughter in George Bernard Shaw's incendiary moral classic. 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m, tickets from £12. 30th of October, Juicebox Live presents a special secret event. Decorum's finest musicians take the stage, showcasing their original sounds launched in 2021. This popular event series is a haven for local artists and a guaranteed night of fresh music discovery. The headliner is a secret special guest, so you won't find out who the band is until the night. 8 p.m, tickets from £7.50. 31st of October, a Halloween evening of burlesque and cabaret. 100 Watt Club invites you to peek inside their cabinet of curiosities and celebrate Halloween with an evening of bizarre burlesque, queer cabaret and sublime circus entertainment. 8 p.m, tickets £25, age guidance 18+.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, a drama, Certificate 12A. Regretting You, a drama, Certificate 12A. Gabby's Doll's House, the movie, animation, U. Black Phone 2, horror, 18. I Swear, comedy, 15. Sketch, 2025, comedy, 12A. Pets on a Train, action, animation, PG. Tron Arrows, action, 12A. One Battle After Another, action, 15. Good Fortune, comedy, 15. And After the Hunt, drama, 15.
And some films at the Rex, Berkhamsted this week. National Theatre Live, Mrs. Warren's Profession. It's a drama, Certificate 12A. Sujo, which is a drama with a 15 certificate. Grand Prix of Europe, an animation that's certificate U. Santosh, a drama that's a 15. Exhibition on screen, Michelangelo, Love and Death, PG. Supervoice of Malagian, a drama, 12A. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
Other events over the coming week include Sunday the 26th of October, Gade Spring Crestbeds Open Day, last gate on the right in Old Fishery Lane, just before the canal bridge, heading south, 11 until 2 p.m. boxmoortrust.org.uk. Old Town Hall Halloween Party, High Street, Hemel Hempstead, 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. fireworks in Gaybridge Park at 7:30. decorum.gov.uk. Friday the 31st of October, Mass Lunchtime Concert, Just a Cappella Choir, St John's Church, Station Road, Boxmoor, 12:30. masj.org.uk. Saturday the 1st of November, Little Gaddesdon Local Produce Market, Village Hall, Church Road, 9 until 12:30 p.m. facebook.com/ Little Gaddesdon Local Produce Market. On the same day, Open Door Repair Cafe, 360 to 364 High Street, Berkhamsted, 9:30 until 12:30, opendoorberkhamsted.co.uk. Berkhamsted Pop-Up Bazaar, the Town Hall, Berkhamsted, 10 until 4 p.m, popupbazaarcreatives.com. And lastly, on that Saturday, Tring Arts and Crafts Market, Victoria Room, Victoria Hall, Aikman Street, 10 a.m. until 3. Facebook, search Tring Arts and Crafts Market.
And now some sports news. Tudors downed by Totten. Lee Allinson said frustration was his biggest feeling after Hemel Hempstead Town were beaten 2-1 at AFCT Totten on Saturday. The hosts led by 2-0 after 26 minutes before Miller Matthews-Lewis pulled a goal back before half-time. But the Tudors couldn't find an equaliser, and Allinson told the club's media the poor start was key. He said, "Frustration is my feeling. What we're really good at is being honest, hard-working, defending our goal well, clearing our ball, winning our tackles and headers. But for the first 20 minutes, I don't know if we just thought that we were going to turn up to win. And when we played like that, we're not very good. And for 20 minutes, I thought we were really, really poor. I could have told you after 30 seconds what was going to happen when two players jumped out of a tackle. It kind of tells you where you're at. Then, after 20 to 25 minutes, I felt something clicked in us and I thought we were very good. And it was similar to the Dagenham game, albeit worse because of the way we started. We didn't win our personal battles and didn't get a foothold in the game. And when you do that, you're going to struggle against any team. Totten are a good side. Jimmy has got them well organised here, and I thought it was two good sides trying to win the game. Games are won and lost, and we've lost it in the first 20 minutes today, and that really is disappointing. We had a go, we hit the post, we've had a couple of really good chances and caused them problems. We opened them up and they've opened us up. Well done to Totten. They deserve it because of what they did to us and took their chances and we didn't. Hemel returned to action on Tuesday night at Hampton and Richmond after this week's Gazette had gone to press. On Saturday, they then host Bath City ahead of the trip to Wigan Athletic in the FA Cup, which has been confirmed as taking place on Saturday, November 1 at 3 p.m.
Storm Notch First League win. Hemel Storm earned their first victory of their BCB League campaign after a comfortable 80-111 against Loughborough Riders. After bouncing back from a narrow defeat to Reading Rockets last weekend, Saturday's win looks to be key as Storm aim to muster a winning run. Braden Inger led the scorers for Storm, shooting 55% from the field. However, it was Sam Newman who earned his first triple-double of the season with 11 points, 11 rebounds and 13 assists. Overall, each player earned themselves over 10 minutes, with 7 of the 9 scoring over double figures. The first quarter saw Storm start with a purpose, looking to work the ball into good shooting positions which helped their shooting percentage as a whole. Leading 18-27 at the end of the first period, Storm aimed to keep their fluid style of play to continue to extend the lead. This was very much the case in the second quarter as a Sam Newman three-pointer forced the Riders into an early timeout with a three-pointer from the corner. Following this, a 0-7 run in Storm's favour, including a Jack Burnell three-pointer, gave the visitors a 20-point lead, giving the Riders no choice but to call another timeout. Storm led 30-55 heading into the half-time break. The break seemed to work in Loughborough's favour as their shooting percentage began to increase. The visitors were forced into a timeout with under 3 minutes left to play, which gave them the opportunity to refocus. The teams went into the final quarter with Storm commanding a 56-79 lead. Whilst Loughborough continued to shoot well, the final quarter saw Storm score the most points of the four, with 32 on the board. Fast movement of the basketball combined with their good shot selection saw Storm rarely turn the ball over, whilst also extending the lead in their favour. Kai Walker proved to be a threat in and around the rim as he increased his points total, whilst Norman continued to knock down his three-point opportunities. A pleasing display earned Storm a well-deserved 80-111 win. Overall, the performance was one of encouragement as the Storm roster looked to have gelled throughout the opening stages of their campaign. After finishing the start of four successive away fixtures on a high, Storm will look to build some momentum as they battle in the East Midlands once again, this time against Nottingham Hoods. On Saturday, Storm's next home game comes on Saturday the 15th of November as they host the Bristol Hurricanes at Storm Dome. Details and tickets can be purchased on www.stormbasketball.net. A reminder for those interested in sports news, on Saturday afternoon, Three Counties radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and Talk Sport are on medium wave 1089.
Suicide prevention. Ongoing work to prevent suicide in Hertfordshire has been highlighted at a meeting of county councillors. The Hertfordshire Suicide Prevention Strategy 2025-30 provides a detailed insight into the prevalence and nature of suicide in the county. According to data included in the strategy, residents in Hertfordshire are less likely to take their own lives than those in other parts of the country. Nevertheless, in the preface to the document, Director of Public Health Sarah Perman stresses the impact that each death by suicide can have. "Every death of an individual by suicide is a tragedy," she said. "When someone takes their own life, the tragedy has a ripple effect, causing loss and distress to family, friends, colleagues, and those who may have even witnessed the suicide. We need to do everything we can to prevent these desperate situations." Presenting the strategy to county councillors, Associate Director of Consultant in Public Health, Aidan Dunn, said they believed that suicide was everybody's business. According to the data within the report, between 2021 and 2023, the coroner recorded 230 deaths by suicide in the county, of which 91% involved Hertfordshire residents. At the meeting, councillors heard the county's rate of suicide in 2023 was 8.1 deaths per 100,000 compared to a national average of 10.7. And they heard for variations between Hertfordshire boroughs with higher rates of death by suicide in St Albans, Three Rivers and Hartsmere, and lower in Watford and Decorum. Highlighting the scale of the issue, Dunn acknowledged that Hertfordshire compared favourably to the east of England and nationally, having remained below national rates for suicide for the last 10 years. But she also pointed to the differing rates within the county and the need to reduce the number of deaths by suicide further. Overall, the data presented to councillors suggests that between 2021 and 2023, men accounted for 75% of deaths by suicide in the county, and 40.9% of those who died were between 40 and 59. According to the strategy document, almost three quarters of those who died had a mental health diagnosis recorded by their GP, and almost a fifth had discussed their mental health with their GP in the 4 weeks before their death. Other risk factors highlighted in the strategy were said to include relationship problems, 46.1%, physical health, 38.7%, drug and alcohol problems, 32.6%, and bereavement, 23%. More than one in three of those who died had made a previous suicide attempt. In Hertfordshire, data is also collected on suicide attempts, and councillors heard that between 2022 and 2024, 1,140 attempts were recorded. Of those, 57% were made by women and 44% by men.
Operation Hotspot. Hertfordshire Constabulary Police carried out 225 arrests and 393 stop searches in the first 6 months of 2025, while recording a 14.5% drop in crime and antisocial behaviour, new Police and Crime Commissioner data shows. The data period coincides with Operation Hotspot, a scheme focused on making town centres in the county safer, under which more than 26 hours of additional patrols were carried out. Further data released by Commissioner Jonathan Ash Edwards showed that 979 incidents of antisocial behaviour were dealt with and 46 knives seized. In areas described as crime hotspots, Hertfordshire Constabulary recorded a 50% fall in muggings. Violent crime fell 20% in St Albans city centre and 15% in Hemel Hempstead. Ash Edwards called the first year of Operation Hotspot a huge success. I'm delighted to see that even more progress has been made in the first 6 months of this financial year, with the number of patrols, arrests, searches and weapon seizures all up on the same period last year. Operation Hotspot is a key priority, delivering on the public's desire to see more police patrols and helping to cut crime and antisocial behaviour, making Hertfordshire town centres safer, he said.
Road accident toll. More than 200 pedestrians were involved in road accidents in Hertfordshire in the past 12 months, newly released police data shows. The data acquired by Compensation Service Accident Claims Advice shows that Hertfordshire Police recorded 206 pedestrian casualties, including two fatalities and 58 serious injuries during a 12-month period during 2024 and 2025. Road Traffic Accident Manager for the personal injury law firm JF Law, Tracy Chick, said, Each road traffic incident involving pedestrians represents a moment of distress and potential life-altering consequences for those involved. The most accidents in Hertfordshire occurred in Watford with 27, followed by Stevenage with 23, 11 in St Albans and 10 in both Hemel Hempstead and Hitchin. Regarding eligibility to claim, it's vital to understand that every case is unique. Generally, if you've suffered injury due to the negligence of another driver, you may be eligible to pursue a claim for compensation, Chick added.
Burglary warning. Scores of break-ins have been reported in Decorum in recent months, new police data reveals. The findings show that 132 burglaries have been reported in Decorum since April. The force is warning that typically the number of homes targeted increases during the autumn and winter months. Would-be thieves often target homes when there is less daylight, as they believe houses are left empty in darkness in winter afternoons. A spokesperson for the police force said, over the next few months, Hertfordshire Constabulary will be sharing home security advice with residents and running crime prevention events across the county, offering tips on keeping homes and valuables safe. Keeping an eye on your local team's social media pages for event details. They also advise residents to install security devices such as security lights and Wi-Fi enabled doorbell and interior cameras fitted with motion sensors. Detective Superintendent Anthony Alcock from Hertfordshire Constabulary's Criminal Investigation Department said, "Burglary is a priority for us, and we will always attend if your home is burgled to provide support and conduct a thorough investigation with forensic specialists. Making sure your home appears occupied is the best way to deter burglars. This can easily be achieved by using a timer to switch on a light when it gets dark."
And van break-ins. A series of recent thefts from vans parked in Hemel Hempstead have been reported by the police. Three vans, which were parked in Rickcroft Close, Rickcroft Street and Windmill Road, had power tools stolen from within them between Saturday night, the 11th of October, and the early hours of Sunday morning, the 12th. A spokesman for Hertfordshire Constabulary said, "Inquiries are continuing and anyone with information is asked to please contact police. You can report information online at hearts.police.uk/report. Speak to an operator in our force communications room via our online web chat at hearts.police.uk/contact or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting crime reference 41/96806/25.
New gym venue. A new gym is opening at a popular Hemel Hempstead activity venue. Not-for-profit fitness organisation, Absolutely Together, will open the gym in the XC Centre in Jarman Park on December the 3rd. A spokesman for the charity said the site was replacing its Our Gym facility in Hemel Hempstead, which will close on December the 1st after the landlord there decided to repurpose the building. All current Our Gym members will have their memberships transferred to the new facility, which will include treadmills, cross trainers, squat racks, dumbbell and barbell stations, ski ergs, battle ropes and assault bikes. Members will also get to access indoor climbing facilities at the XC. Matt Schofield from Absolutely Together said, "Although this was an unexpected change, we are turning it into an opportunity. With reduced overheads at this site, we'll have greater capacity to invest in new equipment and gym facilities in the future. This move will also allow us to distribute additional funds to support families, enhancing our core charitable mission." Absolutely Together says any profits made from the gyms and leisure venues it manages are put towards free fitness activity classes for families with children and young adults with additional needs. It supports families in Hertfordshire, Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Bristol, and runs other activity sites across the south of England, including karting and laser tag venues.
Paper deliveries face axe. Knocks on doors and early morning wake-up calls may soon be a thing of the past in Abbots Langley, as news agents McColl's Morrison's Daily, which has a branch in the village, moves to dismiss paper boys and girls to cut costs. Abbots Langley resident Ken expressed his upset in a Facebook post after his news delivery girl left a card at his home announcing her redundancy. Speaking to Abbots News, Ken said, "I was most upset about the way they were all treated. I paid in advance for vouchers, so I contacted my provider and cancelled my subscription as a gesture of protest. My last delivery now by van will be at the end of the month. I will just have to be content with reading my newspaper online, which I am by no means a fan of. This is yet another chip away from our village life. It is very sad that this has been taken away from youngsters with such wonderful work ethics." A Morrison spokesman said, "Sadly, the long-term decline in demand for newspaper home delivery has accelerated rapidly over the last few years, and unfortunately, customer numbers in Abbots Langley can no longer support the costs of maintaining our own delivery network from the store. Following a thorough review, we've made the difficult decision to close the service and transition remaining customers to News Team Limited, which operates the UK's largest news and magazines delivery network. Regrettably, this will result in our newspaper delivery colleagues being put at risk of redundancy. We have commenced consultation with those colleagues affected and are committed to supporting them through this process."
And finally, Bella's lucky day. A much-loved family dog has been reunited with her owners after spending more than 8 hours trapped inside a narrow pipe in Hemel Hempstead. The mid-October rescue mission unfolded after Bella became trapped inside a rainwater drainage pipe. Bella had been missing for over 8 hours when her family discovered she was stuck underground. Despite the best efforts of 15 firefighters earlier in the day, she remained trapped and the family feared the worst. And that's when help arrived in the form of two drainage engineers from Dino Rod, who responded to an urgent out-of-hours evening call. Using CCTV drainage equipment, the engineers began searching the pipe system in the dark, determined to locate the frightened pup. Family members soon began calling her name, using their voices and the light from the camera to guide her towards the exit. Slowly, Bella followed the sound and the light, inching her way to safety. After 8 hours and 30 minutes underground, she and her family were finally reunited. "It was a long night, but seeing Bella safe and back in her owner's arms made it all worthwhile," said one of the engineers involved in the rescue. Bella's owner said, "I can't thank these two amazing men enough for rescuing my dog. Not only did they come all the way from Cambridge in the middle of the night, they didn't even charge me a penny. Their dedication, compassion, and willingness to go above and beyond is something truly rare. We need more people like them." Bella has since been to the vet, and thankfully she's okay.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for the weekend are 7:43 and 16:45. Don't forget that clocks go back on Saturday night. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, The amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Gary, our technician for this week.